The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome in. I am so glad that you are with us today. It's Tuesday, it's Speak Up. My name is Barbara, and today's program will be filled with lots of information I'm betting you don't know, and me either, because our topic is all about eagles and ospreys, such magnificent birds of prey that we can see so often here in this beautiful area that we are blessed to live. But what do we really know about these beautiful birds? So here to help educate us on eagles and ospreys is Mike Turland. Mike has been a teacher in our own Lake Pondere School District in the Clark Fork Junior Senior High. He has also been a pastor with the Salvation Army. He has many hobbies, including birding, for over 50 years, and I think he got started with birding with his grandfather as a kid back in Minnesota. So he's got a lot to bring to the table. I invite you to stay with us and enjoy the conversation. Relax. We'll be right back.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
The sights and sounds of downtown Sandpoint create a shopping and dining experience like no other.
Sharon's Hallmark is the place to shop for your Valentine's gifts. You'll find soothing fragrance of lavender products, jewelry, or tasty Valentine chocolates, along with a great selection of Valentine's Day cards. And remember to take advantage of Sharon's complimentary gift wrapping.
DeLuna's, home of the Long Weekend Cafe and Gift Shop, is now offering curbside and delivery in Sandpoint. Plus, they have a great selection of unique gifts for the whole family.
It's tax time again, and keeping up with the ever-changing tax laws can be a chore. Rhodes Tax Service in Bonner's Ferry has been providing professional tax service for 35 years. Rhodes Tax Service will give you a one-on-one consultation for individual and business tax preparation. They'll help you understand what is going on with your taxes and what changes must be made this year. If you need the guidance of an experienced tax professional, Rhodes Tax Service is here to help. They provide electronic filing, direct deposit, or you can use the Walmart Money Card. To find out more about what they can do to help you, call Rhodes Tax Service today at 208-267-1040 or 1-888-788-1040. Or if you prefer, you can stop by their office just off of Highway 95, one block north of Super One Foods in Bonner's Ferry. They also offer a website for payroll at w4payroll.com. Rhodes Tax Service wishes you a great year, and they hope to see you soon. Rhodes Tax Service, 208-267-1040.
It's Party Gras at Coeur d'Alene Casino. Join in the celebration this February for a chance to win a share of $70,000 in cash and prizes. On February 26th, 20 lucky winners will receive a share of $20,000 cash and a chance to qualify for the Party Gras giveaway on February 27th, where we'll give away another $50,000 cash. The $70,000 Party Gras giveaway, only at Coeur d'Alene Casino. For more information, visit cdacasino.com.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
All right, everybody, we are back. Join me now. Say hello and welcome to Mike Turland, our birding expert, as we focus in on eagles and ospreys. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Well, hi, Barbara. Thank you for having me. And let's put quotes around the word expert.
I don't think so. I think 50 years qualifies as an expert. I love what you said before we went on the air. You're not... ornithologist. You're not an ornithologist, but you're a bird nerd.
Yeah, I blame my daughter-in-law, Courtney, for that. That's what she calls me.
I think that's great. Well, you know, like most of us, we just are thrilled to see eagles soaring in the sky, and we get to see it a lot. One of the things I read, and I just want to get this out of the way because I want to focus on the eagles that are here in our area in the United States, but I read that there are over 60 types of eagles, in more than 60, and most of them live in Africa and Asia. Who knew?
Yeah, there are. Eagles are cosmopolitan as a species, and in fact, our bald eagle, the family that it belongs to, it has some very closely related cousins in Siberia. They're fish eagles. And in Europe, and the fish eagles are all very similar. I believe they can all interbreed. But ours just happen to have a white head. Now, if you take away the white head, then it might look like the Siberian fish eagle or whatever it is. I don't know off the top of my head, but they're very similar.
There are so many. And of course, do we have golden eagles in our area?
We do. And that's kind of a problem. A lot of people assume when they see those big brown eagles next to the bald eagles, they think that those are golden eagles. Those are immature bald eagles. Bald eagles take 4 years before they get their mature colors. So they're juveniles. It takes a long time for them to grow up. Now, you can date how old they are if you see the color patterns, but you need binoculars for that. Golden eagles are a Montana bird or a Central Washington bird. Different habitat. They like the wide open spaces. They're more of a jackrabbit specialist, whereas the bald eagle is either a fish, you know, a fish taker, or they'll prey on the waterfowl. The only time I see bald eagles is when they come in during a severe winter and I see them on deer kill, you know, along the road. That's about the only time you'll see them here.
And that would be because it's severe and what?
Yeah, you know, maybe their prey, maybe there's been a lot of snow and it's, the winds come in and they've gone a few days or a week without eating. So they'll hit the trail and start coasting along. They have, birds have great memories. So some of them might remember from a year back or two, gosh, I'll go over to Bonner County and see if there's any dead deer along the road. And they do that.
Wow. And, do, for example, golden eagles from Montana, do they ever interbreed with a bald?
No,
they
are. Not
they
possible.
Stay within their species.
Right. They're not. They're different. I guess they're different families.
Okay.
But no, that, it's not. It's
same
not.
Same thing with ospreys.
Yeah, ospreys completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, not
and they
no
don't
no relationship. No relationship whatsoever.
Okay. No. So let's just get, there are just some interesting things about eagles. Think about eagles right now. One of the things is I saw a picture of an eagle coming in for a catch or a landing or whatever, and he had talons that were just unbelievable. And I've heard how powerful they are. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, you know, I actually caught an eagle, and I'll tell you about that. But directly to respond to your question, reportedly, the grip of a bald eagle is seven to ten times that of a man. So they could break your arm bone.
They could break your neck.
I suppose so if they got a chance, but that grip is so strong.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to do that. But they kill their prey with their talons. So when they get a big fish or a wiggly duck, they just kill it. They dispatch it with their talons.
So, okay, so I was thinking they did it with their beak.
No, they normally just
with their beak, they'll take it
apart with their beak, but they just squeeze the life out of it, literally. Very impressive. Last summer, I was sitting on my back deck, and I was eating my lunch, and I thought it was a hallucination. There comes walking along in my garden this brown eagle. And I go, what is that? And then my other part of my brain says, that has to be a wounded juvenile bald eagle. And I called my wife and I said, Robbie, go get a blanket and a box. And so we threw the blanket over it. And then she called the, there's a raptor society in town, wonderful people. And we brought the eagle to them. It was a year old male and it had busted its wing. I guess it's common. And he was dehydrated. Mm-hmm. But when I approached him, he turned around and he flared those talons at me. Very impressive.
Yeah.
Very, very impressive.
Will they, for example, will they attack the human being if they feel endangered or the nest?
Probably so. Yeah. Oh, no. No, no. You don't want to go near their nests. They would most definitely kick in as parents. And a lot of bird species are that way. But I don't think in the normal course of events, they'll avoid you at all costs. So they're never dangerous. Only if you provoke it.
Okay, yeah. Or attack the nest. Speaking of nests,
yeah,
I think everybody, hopefully, I mean, I don't know why they've been posted a lot on Facebook, but there are these humongous nests. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Is it true? They're huge?
They are huge.
The eagle nests.
The eagle nests, and they're constantly adding to them. So now eagles mate for life, and then in the spring, they go through a courtship routine. And you'll see that. You see it sometimes.
Well, this is good marriage advice, if you ask me. I think eagles. Yeah. I think eagles know what they're doing. Stay married, but woo each other every year.
Every spring. In fact, we should start seeing it here pretty soon. You'll notice two eagles, bald eagles, and they'll hook their talons together, and it looks like they're fighting. And then they start spiraling down towards the water, towards the lake. And then right before they hit, they release their grip, and they fly off. And they're courting. So they're getting in the family way. And that's a way to kind of start focusing back on that. And they'll go back to their nest. And then they start repairing it from the winter.
Wow.
I mean, they don't live in nests. Birds don't live in nests. And the only time they use it is when they're brooding eggs or, you know, taking care of their hatchlings. And then they avoid it. They don't come back to the next year.
So they mate for life like geese.
Yeah.
Are they good parents? Both the male and the female go out and get food for the kids?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. That's an interesting question. Oftentimes what happens many times with a lot of bird species, the female will sit on the nest and the male will feed her. And it's actually a tough time for the male because he's feeding himself, he's feeding his mate, and then they both have to feed the babies. That's a lot of work. And it's true for songbirds, it's also true for eagles. The male will lose a lot of mass over the course of the season. Hmm. But it's curious about raptors in general, and eagles, of course, for sure. The female's the big one. She can be 30% bigger than the male. And so if he's doing a good job, she will sit on the eggs. She might leave during the day for a while and go hunting, and then he has to sit on the eggs. But he doesn't do a good job because he doesn't have the mass. So as a rule, overnight, she always sits on the eggs.
Okay.
Because
keeps
he just,
warm.
Right. He doesn't have enough volume to keep them all properly incubated.
So they're going to be doing their dance soon.
Like, yeah.
February, March, right around now.
I would expect by the middle of March.
And then they have their eggs. How long does it take to get the eggs? Take us through the cycle.
You know, I'm not sure if I could, you know, this is where the ornithologist, you need an ornithologist.
But how long do they sit on the nest then?
They would take probably from the first egg laid to the last, probably about 4 to 6 days. That does put the last one at a disadvantage. And eagles, when the babies are born, unfortunately, the firstborn eaglets will predate or kill off the younger ones. So if you have four eggs, you might end up with two mouths to feed. The other ones don't make it. And it'll take the course of the summer with both parents feeding them. Interesting. This is interesting. Eagles are opportunistic feeders, and recently up in Canada, this was last year in British Columbia, an eagle was cruising by the nest of a red-tailed hawk and grabbed one of the fledglings and brought it to its nest to feed its babies. They'll do that. If it's alive, they can feed it to their babies. And the adult eagle dropped the young fledgling hawk in the nest, and it instantly started to beg for food. And so the other parent, I think it was the mother, responded, and they started feeding the red-tailed hawk baby, which is about the third the size of the other eaglets, and it, by golly, it fledged. So there's three of them now. They adopted this red-tailed hawk baby, and it was able to do just fine.
Is that red-tailed hawk hanging out with the eagles and, you know, going to kind of like...
They will avoid the eagles. Now, yeah, if you do see one, I'm sure he's confused. So we'll see what happens. I'm hoping an ornithologist keeps track of that.
Why did I think the eagles were not on their nests in the summer? I thought that... I'm a little bit confused about the season.
Nests are strictly for rearing babies, and then they're avoided.
Okay.
You know, probably because of bugs, lice, what have you. Yeah. So they're there for a purpose, but birds do not use nests.
So the eaglets are in this humongous nest and maybe a stray red-tailed hawk or two, and they feed them, and then when do they... You know, when do
late
they
summer,
get
you'll
out?
Start seeing them. The babies will start flexing their wings, and then they'll take their first flight. And mom and dad are there. And then it's really cool by end of summer. If you look up, and you'll also see this with the ospreys, you'll see the babies taking their first flights, and they're up there circling in the air. And you can tell one of them's kind of having a little bit of trouble figuring it out because they have to build up their muscles. But mom and dad are there with them. And it's a beautiful sight, and the ospreys do that as well. And they're calling, encouraging them with their little calls, and it's really cute.
That's beautiful. So, so when they have to land, I mean, where do they get them to land, in a tree or back in the nest? Or?
Yeah, they'll go back to the nest, but they don't sit in the nest. Usually, they sit around it. You know, they are out on the branches near the nest, and yeah, the nest is strictly for. Until the babies fledge, and then they abandon the nest.
And when you say fledge, you mean now they're flying on their own?
Yeah, they have their adult feathers.
Okay,
right.
And
they're born with down. No, not they do need some help with that, and there is a window, but they have a lot of instinct, so they respond.
Sure. Yeah.
And also, if I'm not mistaken, the mom and dad will bring them prey that they can dispatch and tear apart and eat. So they get to the point where they're able to do that.
Right, and develop that instinct in those muscles.
Right.
You know, you're mentioning that they are flying around, but, you know, their muscles are not fully developed yet. I just hadn't thought of that, but it's like we've all probably seen a baby robin, you know, flop out of the nest you know, basically not fly, but fall to the, with the wings.
Yeah,
off, but
yeah.
Fall to the ground.
And the mom and dad just hovering over them, literally.
They don't have the muscles
They
yet.
Don't. And you'll see that with ospreys, especially because osprey nests are very accessible because they're all over the place. And you'll see the juvenile just up there flapping his wings. Not going anywhere, just flapping its wings. And it's building up those muscles.
Yeah.
And it's learning how the nuanced control of flight. They're born to fly, but they still have to really master it.
Yeah, exactly. So do the eagles, what about migration patterns? So here we are in the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, the eaglets are out of the nest learning how to eat on their own. I mean, do they all, some of them go someplace and have to fly a distance? How does that work?
That's an interesting question. And actually, there's three answers to that. I had that also, that same question, about 15, 18 years ago. I read an article that was, I believe it was by the Idaho Department of Fish and Game. And there was a study done on the eagles in Ponderay. And what they found is there's probably three groups who don't talk to each other. You have the ones like at Longbridge who prey on waterfowl, ducks, coots, what have you, feathered things. And then in the central part of the lake, you'll have the fishers. Those are the ones when you're out there in your own boat and you're watching them elegantly come by and they just grab a fish off the surface and don't even get wet. And the third is, per this article, we get a lot of waterfowl are migrating through on their way up to the Arctic. And they have following them eagles, kind of the way the wolves follow the caribou up in Alaska. So they'll follow them up to wherever. They'll nest. They'll make a family. They'll predate those water birds, and then they follow them back.
Hmm.
And evidently, the birds do not interbreed. They don't even perhaps communicate. And it brings to my mind orcas, you know, killer whales. Off our coast, Washington, Alaska, British Columbia, the orcas feed on salmon exclusively. But out in the broader ocean, they feed on whales, hence killer whales. Mm-hmm. But down off the South American coast, Chile, they feed on sea lions and seals. And these different groups of orcas don't talk to each other. They don't interbreed. They don't interact. So perhaps we have a similar dynamic at play with our eagles. I don't know, but it's a logical assumption.
That is really interesting. I've had the joy and the fun of spending a lot of time out on the lake before, not now, and seeing, I'm wondering now if it was an eaglet. I thought it was an osprey, but anyway, we did see eagles fishing, and it was just glorious because one of the things, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, they were circling. You could see them looking.
They're looking for a fish.
And you could see the moment they made the decision to go for it, and they just, I mean, it was just like a kamikaze flight. Yeah. I mean, you know, the wings are back and the talons are out, or maybe the wings weren't back because he had to come down.
Eagles don't get wet.
Okay.
Yeah, the osprey do.
They dive in, talons first.
They dive in, grab the fish, bob to the surface, lift their wings, shake, you know, fly off and give a little shudder.
Are the osprey's wings back when they're in that dive and their feet are forward?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, they bring them in. They don't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
Bald eagles, they just kind of come down and grab them
and
fly off. They don't get wet.
We've seen both then, and it's magnificent. And what is particularly beautiful is, like I say, when they make that decision and they're going to go for it, you can see the instant they've seen the fish and this is lunch.
They're hunters, and they're going after it, and they need to be successful. I remember once I was up in Alaska, and I was working in southeast Alaska, and I was fishing. I always used a lot of opportunities to go fishing and birding. And I remember, you know, you always had to watch your salmon. You're catching salmon, and you always had to keep them near because the eagles would steal them. But there was this one eagle that was in the water, in the ocean. I mean, it was more like a big lake there in southeast among the islands. And he was up to his belly in water, and that's not like them. And I thought maybe he was wounded. But then he would move and then drag and then move. And then finally he got up on the surface and he had this big fish and he was not going to let go of it. So he'd take a step and then he would drag it. And then he'd take a step and he would drag it up on the beach so he could eat it. And he wasn't going to let it go.
I love that. Well, I have got so many questions for you. We've got to take a break, and we're going to do that right now. So stay with us, everyone. We have a lot more coming your way.
Super One Foods in Sandpoint is now hiring in all departments. Great jobs starting at $12 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net. Super One Foods continues to go to great lengths to keep their customers safe with constant cleaning and other safety measures. For your convenience, try their shop online service. Just place your order online and set the time for pickup. Your personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and bring them out to your car. It's that simple. Go to superonefoods.net and shop online today.
Jim and Sonny reminding you it's always no problem at Parker Subaru in Coeur d'Alene.
The Subaru Ascent is a dual threat as both a family-friendly SUV and a versatile all-purpose vehicle. The Ascent sticks to the Subaru brand blueprint, offering safety and versatility as standard features. It's comfortable here in the Northwest on sand, gravel, and snow. The Ascent has the power for passing vehicles and handling corners with good acceleration. It offers the Subaru symmetrical all-wheel drive system and 5,000 pounds of towing capacity. This SUV delivers an enjoyable ride for the whole family with seating for 7 or 8, a sweet infotainment system, and many state-of-the-art premium features. At Parker Subaru, we have a full service department with fully certified technicians who will ensure the job is done precisely to Subaru specifications.
After your research, visit Parker Subaru to get all the answers to all your questions from the friendly, no problem folks at Parker Subaru, Highway 95 in Coeur d'Alene.
When life throws you a curveball, your P1FCU debit account can help keep you moving. P1FCU Perks, powered by Bezing, offers great features like money-saving discounts, cell phone protection, roadside assistance, and cash back. This card saves you money. Does your debit card do that? P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938. Only available with P1FCU Preferred debit accounts. Insured by NCUA.
At Kiniksu Health Services, we believe that stopping a pandemic requires using all of the tools available. Your best protection from COVID-19 will be a combination of getting a COVID-19 vaccine, wearing a mask, staying at least 6 feet away from others, avoiding crowds, and washing your hands often. No one tool alone is going to stop the pandemic. Learn about the benefits of COVID-19 vaccination so you'll be ready when a vaccine is recommended for you at kiniksuhealthservices.org.
A lot of things feel out of control these days, so it's time you pick your battles. Skip playing referee in the morning. Skip laundry this week. Skip game limits today. Skip cooking tonight. New realities require new routines, and it's okay to skip some of the old ones. But don't skip your preteen's well visits and recommended and catch-up vaccinations. A public service announcement from Vaccinate Your Family in collaboration with Merck.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. We're talking with Mike Turlin. He's our guest. We're talking about eagles. We're trying to get to ospreys, too, but I seem to be really focusing in on eagles. I'm glad that you guys are with us today because this is a really good show. If you miss any part of this program because of what's going on your schedule today, you can listen to an archived copy at northidahoradio.com. It's easy to navigate, and you can find all of the noon programs there, not just mine, but all of the wonderful shows, the local shows that are on at noon. So check it out. We were talking. Sometimes I think we need to leave the microphones on during the commercial because there's a lot going on. First of all, you had some thoughts about the ospreys that you wanted to communicate.
Yeah, you know, invariably it seems that if an osprey is successful grabbing a fish, if there's a bald eagle around, that bird will make a straight run towards that osprey because they will steal that fish from the osprey, invariably. It's just the way they work. And birds tend to bully each other. The stronger, bigger species will bully the smaller ones, and you see that at your feeder in your backyard. And so you'll see the eagle harassing the osprey until it drops its fish, and then the eagle will go retrieve that. So that's what they do.
Does the osprey try to fight back, or they just kind of give it up? The eagle's
the bully.
They're
going to give it up. Yeah, they can't afford to get hurt. Oh. And they're giving up a lunch, and hopefully they can go back and grab something else.
Well, so I still love eagles, even though they are a little bit bullies in the neighborhood. We had a good question on the break from Derek, and that had to do with dogs, you know, being out with a smaller dog and an eagle maybe cruising around. Can that be a danger for your dog?
They take them. I've never seen it. I know people have told me that they've had the little tiny toy dogs will be taken. There was this, it made the news a few years back. Of course, this might be 20 years now. I think it was on City Beach, someone lost their dog to an eagle.
Huh.
And eagles, like I inferred earlier about, some are bird hunters and waterfowl hunters, and some of them are fishers. They're opportunists. And if they can't help themselves, and they might. Now, I was walking my dog. I used to live in Sandpoint proper. And I remember when you could still take your dog down to Traverse Park. And I remember being there late afternoon with my Cocker Spaniel. And I noticed a great horned owl on one of the softball field backstops looking at my Cocker. Yeah. And it was looking and looking, and pretty soon it started to position itself. So I had to wave my arms and say, no, you're not going to eat my Cocker. So birds of prey, you know, it's a hard life. So yeah. They have to take those opportunities when they get
them. They have to be aggressive.
They are aggressive,
survive. For some reason, has it not been at some point that bald eagles were an endangered species? And how are they doing now?
Yeah, the famous story, you know, DDT. And DDT, which seems to be not a problem for people, great way of getting rid of mosquitoes and body lice. But it gets into the system and it breaks the eggs aren't strong, and predators are the birds of prey are the apex predators, so that sort of thing builds up in their body and it affects their eggs, and so a lot of predator raptor species collapsed. And not just them, cormorants, they suffered, and peregrine suffered, and eagle suffered. And then when the DDT was removed, when this became apparent, all those populations rebounded. And so eagle populations are, my understanding, are very strong, and osprey all the way across the continent.
So in an indirect way, man is an enemy to the eagle with our toxins.
And not necessarily with intent. And I think that there's mechanisms now in place where we try to test these things.
Do they have a natural enemy, eagles?
You know, I don't think so, except for maybe another eagle. I can't think of one. Now, osprey will be predated by eagles. In fact, osprey will be taken by golden eagles, bald eagles, and great horned owls. It's probably not common, but they will. If you're as big or bigger, then there's a potential there.
Yeah.
And also, you know, all these birds have these wonderful talons. If you can grab a hold of something and just squeeze the life out of it, bring it down to the ground, you might have a meal.
You know, we were talking about watching osprey and eagles fly and spot that fish and then go for it. Two questions. Do osprey have the same kind of really amazing eyesight that eagles do? Because we always talk about somebody having an eagle eye, or are eagles really superior in that?
No, it's true for all the raptors. So that would be your Cooper's hawk and your goshawks and all of them. They have this powerful vision. My understanding is if I had the eyes of an eagle, I could stand on a 10-story building, look over the edge, and see an ant on the sidewalk.
I've seen some analogies like that where you can, it's almost beyond our imagination.
It is. Now, there's a cost to that. So eagles don't, and most birds, in fact, all birds, eagles will have great visual acuity. And they're also great at processing movement, like a cat. Cats can do that as well.
Mm.
And, of course, it's probably being a predator. But they don't have a sense of smell at all. Zero. And they have a very limited sense of taste.
You know, prey, they seem to think, like, there's deer around where I live. It always amazes me that I don't know how they get there and how they stay safe with the highway and all the traffic. But when I'm pulling in to this area or walking and there's a deer over here, they stop and they freeze. And they think, if I don't move, she can't see me.
Yeah.
So you're saying eagles look for that motion.
All predators do. And so you can, though. Humans are able to differentiate and pull those animals out of the background. Most other animals can't.
Yeah.
So, and I've even done this test with my dogs. If something stops, they lose interest in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So you can't move, and they won't move. And it's also true, like, what was it? A year back, I was down on my lower property, and there's a bunch of grouse. And it was like there's a signal, and everybody froze.
Mm-hmm.
Chickens do that.
Yes.
In fact, I watch my chickens.
And lift up a foot.
And when, in fact, we have Cooper's hawks. They'll come through, and they've taken a chicken. But when one flies over, they stop. There's a call, and they freeze.
Wow.
And I actually had to put up some material for them to get under to protect themselves from the Cooper's hawks, formerly called chicken hawks.
So amazing. Well, we talked about songbird singer. Maybe that was on the commercial break. But anyway, how do eagles communicate with each other? You said they don't sing a song, but they communicate.
Well, they have calls. Yeah, and I think that's important. There's two things. Let's go with songbirds. They're called songbirds because they have a song, right? And that song serves a function. With songbirds, the male sings, and the purpose for the song is to maintain the integrity of a territory. So birds can fly around and find food and whatnot, but during breeding season, they can't. They have to sit still. So in the case of songbirds, that's a problem. So you have to defend a territory with enough resources to provide for yourself, being the male, the female, and then the babies. So the males sing a song. Now, early on in the season, that attracts the female. So it's a love song. Mm-hmm. But that same song during the rest of the summer is a war song. It says, stay away, I will fight you. Mm-hmm. And they do. The males will spend all their time, depending on the species, fluttering around and singing from different spots to let the other birds of the same species know, just stay away. I'm going to defend this spot. Eagles don't do that.
Oh, really?
They don't defend a territory like that. They'll defend their nest, okay, but they don't need to fight other eagles, right, for resources. They just go get their fish or they go get their duck.
Their territory is a lot bigger,
maybe. It's a lot bigger, and there's not that competition.
Yeah.
Where you would have with songbirds.
Wow. So interesting. All right, everybody, we got to take another break. I wish I didn't have to, but we will be right back.
Measures at Sandpoint Superdrug and Ace Hardware. Their expanded hardware department has you covered for the winter with traction sand and shovels, ice melt, and easy heat products that can help keep your surroundings safe. They also have stovepipe fittings and adapters. Sandpoint Superdrug and Ace Hardware has been helping their friends and neighbors for over 40 years. Sandpoint Superdrug and Ace Hardware is open 7 days a week on Fifth Avenue in Sandpoint. Stop by and say hi today.
Have you visited Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet lately? They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, and they now stock ammo and knives as well. Of course, Grünberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins and paper money, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Call 208-263-6060. Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, 263-6060.
The Kootenai Valley Sportsmen Association presents their annual Gun and Horn Show this weekend at the Boundary County Fairgrounds in Bonners Ferry. Buy, sell, or trade guns, knives, hides, taxidermy, sporting equipment, and more. Enter your horns for the horn contest Friday from 3 to 6 or Saturday from 9 to noon. The Gun and Horn Show is Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Admission is just $5 or free with membership sign-up. Don't miss the Gun and Horn Show at the Boundary County Fairgrounds in Bonners Ferry this weekend.
One rainy morning, I made my way to my job in Coeur d'Alene. Just before I arrived, I got rear-ended on 95. But I called my friend in East Ponderay. He fixed my Range Rover, and he fixed it right away. My Range Rover was baby blue, but Bondo and his expert crew matched the paint so very well. It had been wrecked, but you could not tell. But now this car of mine, with its bent frame realigned, he fixed my Range Rover. You ought to see that baby shine.
Anderson's Auto Body.
Let's get something straight.
It's Party Gras at Coeur d'Alene Casino. Join in the celebration this February for a chance to win a share of $70,000 in cash and prizes. On February 26th, 20 lucky winners will receive a share of $20,000 cash and a chance to qualify for the Party Gras giveaway on February 27th, where we'll give away another $50,000 cash. The $70,000 Party Gras giveaway, only at Coeur d'Alene Casino. For more information, visit cdacasino.com.
See our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere, all at northidahoradio.com.
All right. right. We are back having an excellent conversation with Mike Turnland. We're talking about birds, but really we're focusing in on eagles. And now we want to turn our attention to the osprey. I want to say, Mike, that I was beginning to feel sorry for the osprey because the eagles are like stealing their food and beating them up. But you're telling me do not feel sorry for the osprey.
Well, the osprey can take care of themselves. They're well equipped. They just know that it's easier to let the bully have his fish than to fight them over it.
Yeah, but for the lesser, this other bird over here, they're going to go after it. They're just as aggressive.
You know, osprey are interesting. They are exclusively fish eaters, mm-hmm. and they don't hang out here year round. No, our eagles do. Most of them. Some might go down to Lake Coeur d'Alene to fish for the kokanee there, but osprey don't. They come up from warmer climes, which might just be Central Oregon along the Columbia River or from the coast there. But they should be coming in here pretty quick, too. Osprey are interesting because there's one species worldwide, and they're on every continent except Antarctica, and they're almost all the same, which is kind of interesting.
And they can interbreed.
They can interbreed, sure.
That is interesting.
They are, and they're big. They're not as big as a bald eagle, but they're bigger than every other predator bird.
What about vultures? I was reading that they are even bigger sometimes than
turkey.
Eagles,
we only have the turkey vulture, and I remember I write a monthly column with the Daily Bee, and years ago I wrote a daily column for the River Journal, and I wrote an article about turkey vultures. And a fellow wrote me and said, you know, I've been born and raised here and I've never seen a turkey vulture. Hmm. And that's just so strange to me because I see them in the sky. Now, they're not here yet. It's not warm enough. What's interesting about turkey vultures is they are the only bird, one of the maybe one or two birds on Earth that has a sense of smell. Hmm. So they can smell. And something we take for granted is foreign to birds, but the turkey vulture. But they're big, but they're not, I don't believe they're as big as an osprey. Maybe they are, you know. But the osprey should be showing up pretty quick to start claiming the best nesting sites.
All right. Who flies the highest, the eagle?
Probably so. But I I've watched them, like over Kokalala Slough, up really high, wheeling in the sky. And you know they're just hunting and they're looking,
yeah,
seeing what's there. They're always hunting.
Oh,
they don't have
well,
hobbies.
See, you,
they
I was
hunt
just
or rest.
Gonna say. But are they, there are times I thought they're just up there having fun. They're just like catching those drafts, but no. They're
probably
like looking
they're
for
looking
food.
They're looking for food, yeah.
Well, that destroys a little bit of my...
When they have free time, they sit and preen. You know, they don't have much of a life. They're eating machines. They're hunting machines.
Hunting machines. They're feeding. They do mate for life, though. Let's give them that.
They do mate for life.
They're good parents.
They're good parents, yeah. They take it seriously.
They woo each other every year. So we got to give them some chops for that.
And I give this out as a challenge to one of your listeners to try to approach an eagle nest and see what happens.
Don't do that.
Very protective parents.
Check with your doctor before you do that.
And your life insurance agent.
Well, I know this is going to introduce a whole area, but Derek asked a question about, you know, we see little, sweet little songbirds, you know, going at it with each other and basically just flapping and chirping. Is that for fun or is that for real?
That's serious. That they're fighting. And if the one can, he'll hurt the other. Those are the males. And that gets back to that maintaining a territory. Songbirds have to maintain a territory. They can't leave. Once you have a nest established, you can't just go somewhere else to look for food. So you need all the resources in that territory. So the male spends his entire summer singing. And it's beautiful to us, but it's actually martial music. He's trying to tell the other birds of the same species, stay away. Mm-hmm. I'm going to defend this territory and I'm serious.
Is he telling me to stay away? It seems to me there's a bird that has their nest on the ground. And if you go out and walk past it, the bird like gets over here and starts yelling at you to distract you. What
they
is
might
that?
Try to draw you away.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll try to draw you away. In fact, a lot of birds will do a broken wing mimic. You know, and they'll pretend that they have a broken wing and they'll make a lot of noise. birds normally wouldn't want to draw attention to themselves, especially if they're wounded, but they'll...
But to protect the nest.
Yeah, killdeer are especially...
That's what I was thinking
they're,
of.
They're famous for that, but other birds do it as well. Yeah.
And don't they have their nest on the ground?
On the ground. And I have discovered their nest. In fact, it's barely a nest. It's just a scrape in the rocks. And their eggs look just like rocks. It's really strange. They're perfectly camouflaged. And it's barren. They don't even put down plant material. It's just rocks, and that's where their babies are raised.
What's that song? It's a heartbreak life.
Yeah, so yeah.
Hummers come to my mind when you talk about birds fighting. You can go out to a hummingbird feeder, and if you'll stand there long enough and put your finger up, they're so hungry.
Yeah.
They're in such a feeding frenzy, but they will come up at you. And buzz you.
They are brave. And it's really odd about hummingbirds. They don't share. And so I have a hummingbird feeder that has four little spigots, so four different hummingbirds. It doesn't matter. One dominates it.
Yeah.
And so I feed one at a time, even though I have four feeders.
Yeah.
They don't share. Hummingbirds are tough.
They're birds. I'm getting a lot of respect for these birds. I mean, I'm taken back every time I've said something about a bird brain. I'm telling you, these guys are tough.
Let's look at your chickadee. That chickadee can remember chickadees stash food to get through the winter. They might have 1,000 little caches of food, a bug body, a seed or two, and they remember them all. Ornithologists thought that they would just have so many stashes, they would bumble upon them, but now they realize they actually know where they are.
That's
1,000 different ones.
That's amazing. I love chickadees. Give us the whistle of a chickadee, because that's what I asked you earlier. I've heard it.
Oh, well, yeah.
The high-low.
That's their call, and then they will do that chickadee-dee-dee.
Oh.
And that's their warning that there's a predator. And the more D's they do, or the faster they do it, the closer the predator. So chickadee, chickadee-dee, chickadee-dee-dee-dee, the closer you get. So they're telling the other chickadees, this person is coming near me.
Well, the chickadee I heard this morning must have been totally relaxed and chilling, because he was like, hi, low.
Yeah, enjoying the sun.
Hi, low. It was very slow and drawn out in between. Do you do other bird whistles? I see a whole new show coming here.
Yeah. Sure.
Do you imitate birds also? Other birds?
You know, there is something that's useful. Maybe this would take another time. You can call birds, and it's called splishing. And you splish, and you psh, 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 and you do it really loud and as obnoxious as you can, and birds come.
I wonder why.
They don't know. They'll come and they'll watch you, and they lose interest and they leave. But if you're out birding, birders know this, and they want a bird to stop, they splish. Psh, psh, and the bird turns around, looks, and stops.
Like a curiosity
kind of
thing.
Triggers a curiosity.
Yeah.
And I think you can also splish in deer. So it's just one of those little tools that birders have in order to identify a bird, because they move quick.
You know, back to the eagle for just a minute, and we're finished here. I read that they have been called cunning, bold, intelligent, strategic hunters, and I think you've certainly confirmed that about eagles today. They are amazing.
They are amazing.
Yeah. Well, all right. That's the program for today. Thank you, Mike, for being here.
Thank you, Barbara, for the opportunity.
It was just a joy. Thank you. And everybody, thanks for taking time to be with us today. I already know that I would love to have you back with me every Tuesday, so I want to let you know that next week there is a new volunteer opportunity opening up for you. Kimberly Tingley will be here to share with us all about the Adopt an Elder program. I've already signed my name down to volunteer for this program, to be a part of it. I think it's a very good thing. She did like a limited version just for the for Christmas, and this is for all of our elders that are in care and are in some kind of a level of lockdown because of COVID and health and all that kind of stuff. So she's expanding it now to not just Christmas for cards and phone calls, but to other times. So tune in for that. Until then, this is Barbara saying take care and be blessed.